Welcome to Straight to the Point. I'm your host, Representative Joe DiOrsi. In a world of long-windedness, I'm here to deliver you the Capitol news in 10 minutes or less. So, let's get straight to the point. This is the Straight to the Point podcast. I'm Representative Joe DiOrsi, and I am joined in studio today by Torrin Ecker. He is representing the 193rd District, which covers Adams and Cumberland counties, in his third term, and host of a podcast. By the way, did you know?
Yeah.
Torrin, thanks for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Joe. Happy to be here.
So we are in the throes of budget season. We are recording here June 12th, right in the middle of budget season. It's a $45.8 billion proposal from the governor. From our perspective in the House as the minority party, we're kind of behind. So I wanted to ask you, right off the bat here, what are the chances we get done by June 30th, and what are some of the sticking points as we move along?
Yeah, so with any budget, every year, there are just certain things that need to start happening from a timing perspective, procedurally. There's bills that are very uncontroversial, they're apolitical, but they're part of the budget every year that have not even started. There has not been any of those bills introduced. On top of all of that, the big bill that everyone, when we talk about the budget, is that we refer to it as the GA bill, the General Appropriations Bill. It has not been introduced yet. So we haven't even seen it. There's been no discussions of it being introduced. And here we are, mid-June. We are off next week. We're not in session next week. And no General Appropriation Bill has been introduced.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Appropriations Committee. It's one of the more important committees. You're a member of the Appropriations Committee. In short, it basically is the vehicle for how money is spent in the Commonwealth. So it's not just important during budget season, but I wanted to ask you, explain the goings-on there and how it's especially important in June.
Yeah, so the Appropriations Committee, so first of all, let me take a step back. The Appropriations Committee is our largest committee. It's made up of a considerable amount of members, and we have a couple roles. One, in March, in February and March, after the governor gives his budget address, our goal, our role is to pick apart that budget and meet with every secretary during budget hearings and basically make them prove their case as to why they need that budget. So that happens in usually in March timeline. Then as we move forward, our goal then becomes to develop the budget, right, and to work on that. On top of all of that, every bill that goes through the House has to go through the Appropriations Committee. So we have different considerations. A bill has to be considered on three different days. And between day two and day three, it has to go to the Appropriations Committee to get its fiscal impact on the Commonwealth. So every bill has to go through the Appropriations Committee to get its fiscal impact on the Commonwealth. So we're in the unique position of getting to vote on every bill that comes out of committee before it goes to the House for a final vote. Mm-hmm. So, but as we get into June, our role becomes a little bit more important, because typically the General Appropriation Bill, which I referred to earlier, starts with the Appropriation Committee. Most bills don't start in the Appropriation Committee. They start in Labor and Industry or Judiciary and then go mm-hmm. through there. But appropriation bills, primarily the General Appropriation Bill, starts in the Appropriations Committee. Unfortunately, we have not seen that bill yet.
Yeah, so that $45.8 billion, every cent of that is considered by your committee.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And look, the governor gives a budget address every year, and that's his proposal. And then, you know, I would presume that House Democrats will introduce his budget or maybe something larger like they did last year. And that's the starting point of negotiations. Now, again, that hasn't even started. So they haven't even introduced what they're proposing to how we're going to spend Pennsylvania taxpayer money.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, next week is called off.
Yeah.
Originally, we were in session for 3 days next week. So 30,000-foot view here, Torrin. Like we mentioned a couple times, it's a hefty budget. It's $45.8 billion. It's an increase over last year. What's good about it? What's bad about it? In your view, are we overspending taxpayer dollars?
Yeah, it's a pretty significant increase over last year's spending. And the governor gave a robust speech where he promised everything to everybody. And you know, we do have a significant surplus. $5 billion of it is the rainy day fund, which can only be used for emergency times or a true recessionary, you know, investment. The governor thinks that we should really spend all of it. He thinks we should spend down all of our surplus, all of our rainy day fund.
And he has the authority to do that?
Well, he thinks so. Okay. Ultimately, it's important to know that there's only 253 people that can introduce legislation in this Commonwealth, and the governor's not one of them.
Yep.
He can give his proposal, but any bill, or and it's important to know that the budget is actually a bill. It's a bill that gets introduced. That bill has to be introduced by somebody in the General Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, it starts in the House. So somebody, and typically it's the appropriations chairman of the majority party who introduced that, so that would be Jordan Harris, would introduce the general appropriation bill, and that's where we can actually start implementing or having negotiations on what we're going to spend for the Commonwealth. Look, there's things we got to fund in Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
our roads and bridges, our human services, education. These are all things we need to fund every year. But we also need to be good financial stewards of taxpayer money. You know, Representative Topper always talks about this all the time, that we think the state money just kind of falls out of thin air. No, this is state taxpayer money. These are people that pay taxes through various different means, that we need to make those decisions so that we're benefiting every Pennsylvanian equally as much as we possibly can.
Yeah, so you had touched on at least the perception that the governor has authority over something that he, in fact, does not constitutionally. This is a trend, Torin, that I see as maybe one of the most dangerous trends in state and federal government is an executive that's exercising powers that they're not actually fashioned or designed to have. Executive orders, legislating through department regulations, mm-hmm. like we saw with Title IX, mm-hmm. you know, that didn't have congressional approval. Your thoughts on that?
Look, I think during the pandemic, we saw this, you know, the power of the executive really just, it's always been kind of gaining. And this is, again, our checks and balances. And certain branches assume a little more power every now and then in our society throughout American history. This is one of those times where the executive power has really ramped up. And it's our role as the legislative branch to be the oversight branch, too, is to put a check on that and to make sure that we are, and we've done some things over time, but when it comes to the pocketbook of whether it's the federal government or the state, it starts with the legislative branch.
Yep.
And we need to exert our power under the Constitution of the power of the purse. And that is where we can really influence change in Pennsylvania, no matter what party. We as the legislative branch have oversight over the judicial branch and the executive branch over how we spend taxpayer money.
I can't, off the top of my head, point to a poll, but that concept has to be very popular with Americans and Pennsylvanians, similar to like a term limits idea, that, you know, one of the branches shouldn't exert excessive power over the others.
Well, look, Joe, we each represent 65,000 people, right? Or 64 and some change people. So we are the closest to the people. We mm-hmm. know our constituents. We go to our events. We are in our communities. We know the people that elect us. We are a representative republic. We are elected to represent the folks that send us to Harrisburg. We are best suited, just like in Congress, or your congressmen are best suited to know what the needs are of the people we represent.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. So lightning round here, Torin. We saw so on Monday there was lively debate around House Bill 2370. It was basically the vehicle for what the Basic Education Funding Commission produced, which was a kind of a touring commission that gathered feedback from all across the Commonwealth. In my view, they didn't get that much diverse feedback. It was pretty one-sided. Long story short, it was baldly partisan. There was a minority report that, in our view, is more sensible. The majority report was just basically excessively more tax dollars, just sticking it on the public education wound like a Band-Aid. Tell the listeners how this was kind of jammed through. appropriations, and then we as the minority party didn't actually have an opportunity to amend it, and why that's unjust.
Yeah, so education is, so the human services, there's three things that really drive the budget every year. It's human services, which is your intellectual disability, your Medicaid, those types of things that drive the budget. Education's number two, corrections is number three. So we're talking about a very significant part of the budget that was introduced on an afternoon, ran through committee that later that day, and then was on second consideration the very quickly, so such that no amendments were allowed to be offered. And in the minority, our way to speak and try to improve legislation or offer our ideas as it pertains to legislation is through the amendment process on the second day of consideration on any bill. Unfortunately, they used a procedural mechanism so that no amendments could be offered. So essentially, half of Pennsylvania, essentially, because we're at 101, they're 102, half of Pennsylvania did not get their voice heard in the amendment process, how we're going to fund our schools and how we're going to educate our children across this Commonwealth. And it was a procedural move that was used because they wanted to, House Democrats wanted to put their plan. They didn't want any feedback. It was clear. We had a pretty robust debate about it. And unfortunately, this was run through our House, sent over to the Senate. Now, again, this isn't the last time we're going to see this bill, but it's not a good way to negotiate if you're just shoving something through without having a true debate on issues that are going to help our students at the end of the day.
Unfortunately, this has been a common thread torn where we see the speaker ruling amendments out of order that they don't like. There's always a parliamentary excuse for it, like it violates the single subject rule, which it never does. And then, of course, the motion to table amendments, which basically, if we have a series of amendments, they're just washed away. And now the newest is just ramming a very important bill that spends a lot of tax dollars through without giving us the opportunity to amend. So it's a common thread, unfortunately. But as for me and my guest, Torin, we will continue fighting the good fight this June. So, Torin, of the 193rd District and host of By the Way, Did You Know? Thanks for joining me in studio.
Happy to be here, Joe. Thanks for having me.
This has been Straight to the Point. Visit repjod.com/mypodcasts.